What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Newell's traipsing the globe, I think, is how Michael Hecht put it last hour. So I'm Dave Cohen, in for him. Newell will tell you much more about his travels when he returns. But in the meantime, I will hold down the fort as the legislature winds down this session. Melinda DeLotte was on with us as the session was getting started to kind of preview it for us. And now that it's winding down, Melinda, I asked you to come back and thank you for being here. She's the research director for the Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana. How you doing, Melinda?
Tired.
Tired, yes. Fair enough. About this point in the session is when I think everyone's getting a little tired, but this is when lawmakers start their sprint to the end, and all of the stuff that's been languishing and sitting around and unresolved suddenly starts flying at incredible speeds, right?
Correct. This is the last week and a day of session, and it gets sort of crazy. They start going through bills very quickly at sort of breakneck speed because they have deadlines facing them, and so they're trying to get through as much as they can.
And when that starts happening, we start seeing people's agendas becoming more obvious and more clear. Looked like the governor was getting a lot of what he wanted, but just in the last couple of days, we've seen the Senate kind of tinkering with things, including his big voucher program.
Right. So all the major budget bills are currently in the Senate as things stand right now. And so they've been tweaking the bills, making major changes. And I guess one of the big things that they did that everybody's paying attention to is the governor's voucher program that he wanted about $94 million in funding for next year so he could expand it beyond those original students who were in the prior voucher program that the state had. He wanted to expand it to essentially double the size of the program. The Senate took out $50 million. They decided they wanted to keep it to the number of students who were in that previous iteration of the voucher program and that they wanted to see how the transition of those voucher students over to the new LaGator program works before they expand it to include other students. Say that change was made in the Senate Finance Committee. The budget bills are to come up on the Senate floor probably around Sunday. And I believe there are a lot of ongoing negotiations about whether that money could be restored or some of that money could show back up. So I don't think it's settled yet how much money will ultimately end up in that LaGator program.
Is this a result of public school advocates putting pressure on the Senate to not shift more and more money to families to send their kids to private schools instead of public schools? Or is there some other interest involved here as to why we're seeing the Senate scaling this back from what the governor wanted?
I think there are a lot of competing things happening here. I think there are some people who are concerned about taking money away from public schools if they send more children to private schools. I think there are some concerns that some senators wanted to see how this program operated with the existing children who were already voucher students in the state before they expanded it further to make sure that they, you know, were confident in the direction of the program. I also think
is it really working? Are these kids who are now out of public schools and in private schools actually performing better? And is the investment well worth it? I guess that would be the
right
question.
And I mean, and I think there's also this overriding concern that without certain checks and balances on this program, the size and price tag of it could grow exponentially, because they've seen in other states that similar programs have grown very large very quickly, and they are concerned about the impact on the budget and sort of creating outsized expectations for what people can assume this program will be able to provide financially. The state obviously has, depending on who you talk to, the state has a lot of money or not enough money always, but there are constraints on what they can afford to do, and I think a lot of senators have concerns about the financial implications of letting this program grow too fast, too quickly.
So right now they've cut $50 million from the program that the governor wants spent on it. In the meantime, senators, at least for the time being, and we know there's still 8 days to go, things can change, but they've increased spending in the Medicaid budget, and I think some people are surprised by that, and they've increased it by $150 million, right? Or at least $100 million.
Well, there are a lot of increases in different parts of the Medicaid program that are largely in reimbursement rates for doctors and hospitals, essentially the money they receive for taking care of Medicaid patients. A lot of that is federally financed, and they haven't necessarily gotten federal approval for some of the rate changes that they are proposing. So the money may be in the budget, but until they get federal approval for some of these things, that they can't spend the money until the feds sign off on it. Like I said, a lot of it is funded with federal money and not necessarily with state money. What I will say is, you know, there is a broader concern about happening at the federal level, and will any of the changes to the Medicaid program impact the budget that they are creating right now? And quite frankly, no one is really sure. So they're kind of moving along as though there are no substantive changes to the Medicaid program coming down from Washington, and they're just going to keep going as they have been. And that's a real question mark long term of whether or not they're building, you know, spending into a Medicaid program that may face pretty significant like adjustments from the federal spending side. For now they're working through the process as if they have their traditional Medicaid program that they've always had. So I think more to come on that in the future as well, but I don't think they're going to have any solutions for the federal question mark by the end of crafting this budget in 8 days. I just think people should be aware that, you know, they're crafting a budget under some assumptions that may not hold depending on what Congress does.
This also at least feels on the surface counter to the governor's agenda.
Well, I mean, the Department of Health, which is overseen by the governor's administration, was involved in the request for additional funding and the negotiations over all of that funding. So nothing is necessarily being done to the Medicaid program that isn't in consultation with the Landry administration.
Okay. And I know there have been concerns expressed, particularly about rural hospitals and rural doctors and not maintaining the current level of spending overall, which means increasing the state's portion could really impact them negatively. So we'll wait and see what happens on that. The Senate also added some money to the Louisiana Department of Government Efficiency, or whatever the actual name is, but the state's version of DOGE, right?
So the Senate added $1.5 million into the governor's Division of Administration, which is supposed to pay for 10 positions to help find efficiencies in government. My understanding is that request was that money was added as a request from the administration. So there's been a lot of attention on it. In the grand scheme of the budget, $1.5 million is probably a small amount, but it is interesting to see new positions being added and money being added ostensibly to find efficiencies in government. That kind of seems counterintuitive to some people. So it's gotten a little bit of attention in that regard.
But then that is very much in line with what we're seeing in D.C. through the Trump administration. We're seeing a similar effort here in Louisiana from the Landry administration.
Yes, and what you've seen is some agencies already engaged in trying to find their own efficiencies and ways to shrink spending. I feel like every administration comes in and we see a new round of discussions about how to make government more efficient. Obviously, there's a lot of attention on it this time because of what's going on in Washington. But it does seem to be cyclical in terms of what happens in Louisiana, where you get a new governor and then they start talking about ways to make government efficient. I'll say one of the big things that's hanging out still in the last 8 days of session is the discussion of how and whether to reorganize some of the operations of the Department of Transportation and Development. And I know that is a big priority of the governor, that he's looking for ways to speed up projects, speed up road and bridge work. And he's still working with the legislature on it's three or four pieces of legislation that would, you know, increase privatization efforts, which try to restructure part of the Department of Transportation. Those bills are all in the Senate right now as well. They passed the House. They're in Senate Transportation. They actually get a hearing later today, or at least they're scheduled for one. So I know that's a big reorganization and an effort that the administration is looking at to try and find efficiencies and to improve outcomes. But where that will go, I think the Senate is interested in making a lot of changes from what the House tried to do. So we're not really sure where that's going to end up.
Also, a lot of talk about ethics and campaign finance issues that have yet to be resolved in this session.
Well, the campaign finance bill, which would essentially, I mean, it would do a whole slew of things about reorganizing what kind of campaign finance expenditures are allowed, donations are allowed, disclosures are required. That bill got out of a Senate committee this morning. It was heavily amended there. But the ethics bill that would create new hurdles for the ethics board to investigate potential violations and to heavily restructure how ethics violations are investigated and prosecuted, that bill has made it through both chambers and has one more vote on the House floor that could come as early as today to send it to the governor's desk. And obviously a lot of people have raised concerns about that ethics bill in particular because it adds some new hurdles that seem to at least raise the possibility that the process could be more heavily skewed to the person accused of ethics violations instead of trying to find a balance between the ethics board doing the investigation and the person accused of a violation.
We're talking with Melinda DeLotte, longtime journalist, now the research director for the Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana. She keeps her thumb on the pulse of what's going on in the legislature now with a week and a day left in the session. When we come back, we'll ask her if there are any surprise bills that did not pass or bills that did pass that she wants to highlight. If you have any questions about bills that we've been talking about over the last weeks and months, text or call us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. We're back with Melinda DeLotte after this, and then we're opening it up to the lunchtime buffet for anything you want to talk about on WWL.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Getting caught up on the legislative session as it winds down. Melinda Lotof-Parr is with us. Melinda, every year we have all these previews of all these bills that legislators want to highlight before the session starts and as it's getting going that address a myriad of issues, and the vast majority of them never pass and become law. Any do you want to highlight that have passed or have failed or are still alive that people may find interesting?
Well, I think there were some things that were flying under the radar a little bit. At one point, the House had passed some legislation that was going to attempt to cut the state sales tax rate by 0.25% and cut the individual income tax rate by a similar amount. Those bills had very large price tags to the state treasury. So when they got to the Senate Revenue and Fiscal Affairs Committee, which is their tax committee, just sort of quietly ended those tax cuts. Senators in particular have concerns about they just did a massive tax restructuring in that November special session, and they don't really know the full implications of what they've already done. Economists have warned them it'll take a few years to sort of shake out what actually happened in terms of what income is coming into the state treasury. So the Senate just quietly ended those tax cut bills without really much discussion. There wasn't even a hearing on the individual income tax cut, and the state sales tax cut just got removed from a bill without really much discussion at all. So if anybody was looking for a significant tax cut beyond what happened in the November special session, they should end those hopes now.
Because it's not happening and will not happen over the next 8 days. All right, I'm getting texts about some specific bills, and I hope you can answer them. If you can't, that's fine. Any bills to address the decrepit technology at the OMV and the constant failures of the OMV computer system?
Well, yes. Actually, the Senate just added some money. I think it's around $27, $28 million into one of the budget bills that is designed to provide some financing for computer system upgrades for OMV. That is a big issue for a lot of legislators, so I suspect that money will stay in and make it to the governor's desk.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the bills that the governor has already held a signing ceremony for that he says will reduce auto insurance rates by as much as 10%. Others still skeptical because some of the other legislation could counter those. So we'll wait and see what happens with our auto insurance rates. What are you hearing about banning handheld cell phones?
That one's interesting just purely because that bill has been proposed and killed somewhere along the process for years at the Capitol.
Yeah, like 25 years.
Well, definitely for the last several years running, I feel like, consecutively. But because it's now considered one of the things that supporters are saying it could help lower car insurance rates in some fashion because dozens of other states have something similar, that bill looks like it might be on track to passage finally. It's got, I believe, one more step. It's on the Senate floor. and needs to get passed there, but it did already pass the House. So it looks like it's got a better chance this year than it has in the past.
All right, may finally become illegal for the supporters who have been fighting for it for years and years, decades, that it'll be illegal to hold a phone while driving a vehicle in Louisiana. We'll wait and see. Credits for solar panels, someone wants to know. Is there anything on that this year?
Not that I know of, not that I've seen anywhere, at least nothing substantive. I can't guarantee there's not a little bit somewhere, but that doesn't register as a big debate that has come up, so it can't be much of anything.
Someone else wants to know, the last 2 years has been an effort to get rid of statewide inspection stickers for vehicles. It's my understanding, and tell me if I'm wrong, that bill is dead for the session again.
Yes, that bill has failed again. It often has to do with the fact that the money raised from those inspection stickers helps finance state police operations. And so every time that bill comes up, there are questions about the value of the inspections, but then there are also questions about the money generated and how it would impact state police to lose that funding. But what I do know is that bill is again dead.
Yeah, and I know that the supporters this year tried to just transfer that so we'd pay more for our vehicle registration to make up that loss so state police would still get the money they want, but there was a big push by the inspectors who say they rely on that income to make a living. So, again, that one's dead for the session. Somebody else wants to know, is there anything to address the fairgrounds and the machines that have been found to violate current law and that could lead to Churchill Downs leaving Louisiana, not only from the fairgrounds, but the OTB sites across the state? Heard anything about that?
That one is not on my radar, but I will tell you a lot of the sort of local issues don't necessarily rise to the level of getting as much attention in the building as they do in the areas where they're focused on. So I haven't seen a lot on that. That doesn't mean there's not something circulating.
All right. Anything on marijuana? Somebody else wants to know. It always comes up.
That comes up annually, kind of like that hands-free cell phone bill. Nothing is substantively changing on that front. There's been nothing to either loosen the recreational marijuana, to allow recreational marijuana. Nothing has passed on that front, nor will it. And there has been nothing to substantively change the operations of the medical marijuana industry in the state this session either. So there may be some minor changes, you know, on regulatory issues, but there is nothing substantively changing on marijuana.
Well, Melinda, I know you've got to get your thumb back on that pulse, and I know that there are committee meetings, and then the floors will be having votes today. A lot going on in these last 8 days. Anything else you want to share with our audience as we get to an update from you on this legislative session?
Just that they need to be paying attention because things can change very quickly in the final days and hours of a legislative session. Bills that have died can be resurrected. Things can be tacked on to other bills, and financing can change very quickly in budget bills. So just don't stop paying attention.
All right. And we know you will not. And I'm sure we'll be checking with you again. And it's always those conference committees that I always fear, because you just never know once they go to conference. And it's that small number of legislators from both sides, from both the House and the Senate. And they can pretty much put anything they want in those things and then send them back to the floor with just hours left in the session. And sometimes you wonder if everybody knows what they're voting on.
Oh, I often wonder that at the end.
Thank you, Melinda. We appreciate it. And I know we'll be talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Melinda DeLotte, Research Director for the Public Affairs Research Council of Louisiana, paying attention to what's happening in the legislature, because we cannot keep track of every bill, every moment, every day. And we know that the public can't do that. So we appreciate her joining us. 504-260-1870. I want to open it up now, as I enjoy doing in the noon hour when we have some time left, because I'm always curious what you're thinking about, what you're concerned about, what's bothering you, what's stuck in your craw, and what you want to get out, off of your chest and out of your system. So I always like to open up the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line for at least a little while, because we can pick topics to talk about. We can find interesting issues to address, but I find it fascinating what you are most concerned about. And we'll start with Wayne. Thanks for calling. Wayne, you're on WWL.
Oh, how you doing? I feel gifted that I was able to talk to you.
Well, we appreciate your calling.
I've lived in Chalmette my whole life, and when Katrina hit, the Florida corridor was supposed to happen. It was going to go from Paris Road to Elysian Fields. Well, right after Katrina, I saw a guy running for governor, Walter Basso, and he said, Wayne, don't worry. The money's there. The money's there. Well, guess what? 3 years ago, they took that money and put it on the Huey P. Long Bridge. And I found that out by somebody that works for New Orleans Public Belt Railroad. And they said, I'm sorry for you, but we took it away, and now it's on the Huey P. Bridge. So what I'm calling about is they're going to do this port. And the port...
Did you hear Michael Hecht last hour when he was talking about the Newport Road and the fact that they've made significant progress and it's passed an important legislative hurdle to make sure that they fund the road for the Newport and they have it in the plan before they construct this new container terminal?
Yeah, I've talked to so many people, the president of the parish. But what I'm calling about is that when you leave the parish right now, you got St. Claude, Claiborne, and Florida. Well, last weekend, the Claiborne Bridge was closed without notice, and the St. Claude Bridge was up most of the day.
Yeah, yeah, and I know, Wayne, you called earlier in the week and talked about this, but it sounds like your message is being heard and that they know that they need additional routes, particularly before they expand greatly expand the number of trucks coming in and out of the parish. Wayne, I appreciate your call. We hear you and your message is getting out there here on WWL. All right. We're getting more lines. We're getting folks lined up to share with us what they're concerned about, what they want to talk about. That's after this. You can call and get on the line right now at 504-260-1870 or text me on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text line as we open it up to a lunchtime buffet, potluck style, here on WWL.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wow.
Carved out a little time because I want to know what's on your mind. I always find it fascinating what people are motivated to call in and talk about on the radio or text in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line at 504-260-1870. I don't always feel like we need to control the conversation. I want to know what's got you worried, concerned, angry, whatever. Patrick, we're going to start with you. What's on your mind today here on WWL?
Hey, good afternoon. What's on my mind is I think the state legislature needs to come up with some sort of an emergency measure law, whatever the verbiage would be, but we need to have an emergency petition and remove the Orleans Parish Sheriff from that position. That individual was lying before the city council yesterday and to the general public, blatantly lying on camera. She needs to be removed.
Well, that's a sensitive issue, Patrick, because it's dangerous when you give state legislators the power to remove locally elected officials. And I understand your concern, the escape of 10 inmates, the clear problems that exist at the Orleans Justice Center are huge concerns by far. But you're playing with fire when you want to give state lawmakers, not voters, the power to remove locally elected officials. Now, there is a recall process. It's never been successful on any large scale anywhere in Louisiana. I mean, they tried to get LaToya Cantrell out of office as mayor of New Orleans and could not get the required signatures because you need 20% of the eligible voters to sign a petition to force a recall. And by the time, even if you could get those on Susan Hudson, by the time you do that, we're into the October election and you may as well just let the voters decide at the ballot box, right?
Exactly. So that's why we need to have a new law written up or whatever and remove her for a gross malfeasance in office. Mismanagement, it's a joke. And in fact, if we're going to listen to what Massey was saying on social media the other day, he was saying that he was let out of there. Well, if that's a true statement, I would again think that the jailhouse representative is the one that will have let him out. Either way, she needs to be removed.
Wow. Do you believe that? Do you believe the felon who escaped from the jails post to social media that someone just opened the doors and said, go out? I mean, we have video evidence that they ripped a toilet off a wall. We have video evidence that they cut through the rebar in that cell to get to the service corridor, to get to the loading dock, to get out. Who is it that you believe just let him out? The other inmates?
No, I don't necessarily agree with what he was saying, but my point being, ultimately, she, having not told anybody for several hours that the jailbreak had happened, apparently she was trying to figure out how to cover her own backside, and then she's got to go. They need to get her out the sooner the better.
Patrick, and I understand and feel your frustration. I would do caution. I don't know we want to give state lawmakers the power to do that, take that away from the voters. I think there should be mechanisms to force a recall that are not nearly as difficult as the current ones, because I think that sometimes it does become very clear that voters made the wrong decision, and voters can make the recognition that they screwed up and they elected the wrong person and call for a redo. And I think it should not take 20% necessarily of the eligible voting population to do that, to get it on the ballot to then have another vote. But I also am not sure that we want to give that power to state lawmakers.
Well, it's also very sad because all of this is in the national media. And, it continues.
Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate it. And, you may be right. And maybe there should be some mechanism. And I think we'd have to do some research to find out if other states have some way to do that, where in extreme circumstances, there is some way to remove an elected official from office that does not require many, many months of gathering signatures to try and force a new election, which would then happen months later. And the whole process, by the time you're done, you're talking about months and months, if not years, of trying to get someone out of office if they present a clear and present danger to the well-being of the community. I appreciate the call. Mike, thanks for calling. You are on WWL. What's up, Mike?
Yes, sir. I guess you'd have to put me in the furious category.
What are you furious about?
Oh, my goodness. How a bill could even be introduced to have these lawmakers vote on eliminating the revenue from Churchill with the off-track betting? Just how on earth could that...
Okay, well, we're going to do an hour on that tomorrow, so you might want to listen. I wanted to get a lawyer in here to really fully explain and understand everything. Here's the problem, and I don't know how much of it you've been able to research and understand, Mike. Churchill Downs has introduced these machines at the fairgrounds and off-track betting across Louisiana that let gamblers go in and place wagers on horse races that have been run in the past, sometimes going back to the 1990s. So these are races that have already been run. Now, they don't tell you the names of the horses, the names of the jockeys, or any other identifying information, so you can't go, oh, I saw that race, I know who wins it. They just give you the odds, and gamblers go in and they pick, just based on the odds, which horse they think is going to win. They watch essentially a DVR'd horse race. And if they pick the right horse, they get paid. And if they didn't, they lose their money, right? And to me, that whole concept is bizarre. But it's happening. It's not just here in Louisiana. It's a thing. And it's another way to give gamblers an opportunity to win. Actually, it's more of a way to give them an opportunity to lose and for the purveyor to make more money. That's fine. That's a debate for another day. The legal issue is, under Louisiana law, anytime you introduce a new form of gambling, whether it's horse racing, whether it's video poker, whether it's casino gambling, whatever it is, there has to be a local option election. You remember when we had that for the mobile sports betting, when we had that for the casinos before they opened? Every time there's a new form of gambling, each parish has the right to decide if they want it in their parish. And the Louisiana Supreme Court says this is a new form of gambling, this gambling on previously run horse races. And they're saying it requires a vote in every parish in order for it to be legal. So there was no vote in Orleans Parish to allow it at the fairgrounds or any of the other parishes where the OTBs are.
Yeah. My last comment would be this. And it's simply this, and I was not aware of previous races. I don't know. I have to think about that. But I would tell you this: the same people that are in there voting are the same people that ruined the movie industry here in Louisiana. And I wouldn't. No, I have no faith whatsoever that those people won't repeat the same mistakes they've already made in the past.
Yeah, and this is a weird kind of unique issue. And to be honest with you, I don't fully understand the whole evolution of it either in terms of the previously run races and the machines. But I know that Churchill Downs put $40 million into buying the machines and the software so that they can allow people to bet on these previously run races. I would like to know where their lawyers were before they made this investment to make sure that they were free and clear to go. Because now I get why Churchill Downs is saying, you don't let us have these machines, we're out of business here. We're not doing this anymore because we're losing $40 million because you won't let us use these machines. But where were their lawyers to tell them, hold up, swole up, before you buy these machines, we need to make sure that we're good legally. We need to make sure that everything's cool. So again, we're going to do an hour on that tomorrow. So stay tuned for that, and hopefully we'll get a better understanding. More of your calls and texts up next. Anthony, thanks for calling. You're on the Lunchtime Buffet on WWL. What's on your mind, Anthony?
Yes, well, how you doing today? What's on my mind is for all the people that want, and I'm not a fan of the mayor, I knew she wasn't right when she got in office, right? But when you want to talk about Susan Hudson or the mayor or anything of the jailbreak and everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon, Jimmy, every politician that's working in that's not working in best interest of the public, right? We talking last governor, this governor, the president of the United States. I want to hear all these people talk about recalling all these people that's not working in best interest of the public, still are just jumping on the bandwagon now because you see a crooked mayor or you see a crooked sheriff or you see all these people act like they're crooked because none of them is working in best interest of the public. So therefore, we need some way of getting all these people out of office quicker and faster, from the White House to the mayor to the governor to all these people. You got
so Anthony, Anthony, what do you think?
The governor of this state constantly doing something crooked. He
so Anthony,
put in a bill to benefit the rich.
So, Anthony, what do you think the process should be? We talked about, and by the way, the only reason we were talking about the sheriff and the mayor, I brought up the mayor because there was an attempted failed recall of the mayor, and I was pointing that out, and the sheriff was brought up because of the jail escape. There hasn't been a recall attempt on the governor or the president. He has been impeached, at least in his previous term, by the Congress. He was not found guilty and kicked out of office by the Senate. But what do you recommend? What should be the process, you think, for getting a politician duly elected by the people out of office?
And just like you say, it should be an easier way to where we can have people get petitions. Newly man did a petition to try to get, I think it was the mayor. He did, right, and he didn't get enough votes. Or what. It should be easier to get enough votes to get these people out of office. Remember when Newly man petition to get, I think it was the mayor out of office.
All right, Anthony, I'm sorry. Your phone is breaking up real bad. I wish I could hear everything you were saying because I want to give you your chance. But I will say this. There probably should be, and I would support an easier path to recalling elected officials. But it can't be super simple, and it can't be something that anytime we want to do it, we can just throw someone back on the ballot and make them run again after they're elected by the people who went to the ballot box. But I will say this, not enough people vote anymore. One person texted and pointed out that it's funny that it takes 20% of the electorate to recall somebody when often they're not elected by 20% of the electorate. And there's been suggestions before that it should be 20% of the number of people who actually voted for that individual or voted in that election. And that would make it a much lower threshold to get a recall. But all that being said, voters make mistakes. It's happened time and again, and we've seen it so evidently that voters often pick the wrong people, and often the wrong people run. Often our choices just suck, and we don't have very good choices. But we've gotten into a horrible spiral where people don't care enough to vote because they don't like the people on the ballot, or they just don't think that they're going to make a difference regardless of who gets into office. The problem is, even if you don't like someone, if you vote in someone you don't like that's the worst of the evils, they can really screw everything up and make life horrible for us for years on end. So, yeah, there should be an easier way to recall, but it shouldn't be super simple. And you shouldn't just be able to, every time you don't like something a politician has done, get a recall, put them back on the ballot and make them run again. But it is too hard right now, and there needs to be a sensible conversation. Here's the bottom line problem, though. People who are elected by the voters, in most cases, are not going to make it easier for you to kick them out of office because they don't want to be kicked out of office and they don't want to end up the ones being recalled. So good luck getting elected officials to come up with a plan to make it easier to get rid of elected officials. That is what it is, and I don't see it changing. What is changing is who's going to be sitting in this seat for the next few hours. Scoot is taking over after the news. What you got coming up today, Scoot?
Well, we've got some politics to talk about today, but, you know, even when we do that, we try to be a little, you know, irreverent, sarcastic, because it's kind of hard to be serious about this stuff every day. It's different every day, but it's the same thing every day. But I'm really interested in Louisiana advancing this bill to ban chemtrails, and I talked about this recently on the show. There's a lot of hysteria about this that is not true. So we will spend a little time talking about chemtrails and setting the record straight on chemtrails. And here our state is going to ban chemtrails. So I can't wait to talk about that.
I hope we also start distributing tinfoil hats.
Well, yes, that too. In fact, I would think that everything that's going on, I would think the sale of aluminum foil is really high right now.
Well, other than the tariffs on aluminum, that creates a problem.
Oh, that's
if you
right.
want to put on your aluminum hat, but now there's a 50% tariff on aluminum, you're kind of in a quandary there.
Tough when you can't afford a tinfoil hat.
Well, Scoot's coming up next, free of charge. You can afford to listen for the next 3 hours. I'm Dave Cohen. I'll be back tomorrow for Newell. In fact, I'll be back at 5 a.m. for my regular show on the early edition of WWL First News. Have a great hump day!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.